go ahead and start. Please turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and I want to begin reading in verse 6. I'm just going to read verses 6 through 10. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. I started to title this message, The World Knew Him Not, but I changed it. I want to entitle it, The True Light, because the true light, he is our message, hopefully. This is speaking of, and starting in verse 6, of John the Baptist. So we have John the Apostle writing about John the Baptist. And in verse 8, he comes out and explicitly states this fact, that John the Baptist was not that light. Now, it seems a strange thing to put in this gospel, but it's kind of been, I've kind of had my face rubbed in it here and there lately. But I come to think of it, and the Apostle John was actually addressing a subject that some were concerned with, because there were those who thought John the Baptist might be the Messiah. There were those out in the world that the only thing they knew was the message of John the Baptist. The Apostle Paul ran into him in Ephesus. Others ran into him in other places. Because those people that John baptized and John preached to went. And they had not heard of Christ. But the Apostle John is definitively and with certainty stating this fact, that John the Baptist was not the light that was to come. He was to bear witness of that light, and he did bear witness of that light. Christ himself says that there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. There were those who had received and believed the teaching of John the Baptist, who had never heard of and never received Christ. There's a sign in Princeton, up on a church. I pointed it out to Walter as we drove by. And what it says is, and it is a scripture quote, it says, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" Now it's on the sign of a Pentecostal church, which I'm not supposed to call them that anymore. Apostolic Church is what they call it. It's the same place that used to have a sign on the side of the building that says, "Obey Acts 2:38. And I always wanted to put up the sign below it saying, "Believe Acts 2:39. But they are putting this up here because they believe in what this called a second work of grace. That's why it's up there. That you believe, and then later on, somewhere down the line, sometimes somebody has to lay hands on you and you receive the Holy Ghost. Well, what we have here is a really bad case of talking about apples and oranges. Because the people that Paul asked this question to, it's in Acts chapter 19. I'll turn there for just a minute. Acts chapter 19, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, He said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, this is the part that everybody leaves out, We have not so much as heard as whether there be any Holy Ghost. So Paul said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. These men had never heard the message of Christ. You understand? They have never heard the message of Christ. Paul in Ephesians does go on to say, he says, After ye believed, you were sealed. But he's talking about believing in Christ. These men were looking for the Messiah. They believed in the Messiah, but they did not know the Messiah because it had not been preached to them yet. So have you received the Holy Ghost? We didn't even know there was one. John the Baptist didn't tell them about the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist was not that light. John the Baptist, though, knew that light. He bore witness of that light. John the Baptist was looking for that light. And John the Baptist saw that light. And he said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And he said that when he saw Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is that light. And if you notice in your scripture in your Bible, you will see in verse 8 it says, He was not that light. Verse 7, He came to bear witness of the light. That word is capitalized. And it was capitalized on purpose and it was capitalized correctly because it is talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the light. He is that light. John the Baptist bore witness of that true light. The Son of God manifest in the flesh. Verse 9 says, That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I got a question for you. What is the first recorded statement of God speaking in the Bible? The first words we have recorded that God said in the Bible are, Let there be light. That light, the light, the true light, spoke those words. Jesus Christ is the one that brought everything into being. He spoke the words. He was the voice of the Father. And He spoke, and guess what? There was light. The first recorded thing we have of the Word of God speaking in the Bible is let there be light. Our Father, God, is called the Father of lights. God is the source of all light. Natural and spiritual. So why did the Bible, why did God start with light? Well, I am one of the persuasion, almost what Brother Don said the other day, nothing is written in this scripture accidentally or by happenstance. And it's always in a significant order. We may not understand the order sometimes. We may not get the order. We may miss the order. But there are times where it's definitely, you will see a progression throughout this book. And the first thing God started with here, He said, Let there be light. Because I believe this to be true in the natural world as well as in the spiritual world, in the world of the Holy Spirit. in the world of our spirits, there is no life where there is no light. There is no life. Life starts with a light. And that goes for the natural as well as the spiritual. All life starts with light. Verse 4 here in John chapter 1. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shined in the darkness, and the darkness didn't comprehend that light. Why? Because darkness is incapable of comprehending light. Light is an anathema to darkness. Light is incomprehensible to darkness. They are more than polar opposites. Darkness doesn't understand that light exists or that it can exist. They have no way of comprehending. Darkness has no way of comprehending the light. It has no frame of reference. It just doesn't get it. Now the true light shines all the time. But it's equally true that until he shines in you, until the day star arises in your hearts, man will not comprehend that light. He will not understand that true light. The lost soul is not only in darkness, the lost soul is blinded to the light of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. This is the way of the world. And this is where John goes in this chapter after, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He goes to the fact that men love darkness, and the darkness can't comprehend the light. But the light shines nonetheless, whether the world knows it or not. That light shines all of the time. Now there are some people who have trouble with this next statement, and I can understand why, where it says, that was the true light, our Lord Jesus Christ, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now there are some who try to add way too much to that statement, and there are some who like to kind of explain away that statement. The Arminians think this is a proof that Christ died for every man. That's not so. The Arminians try to say that Christ came to try to save every man. They use this as a proof also that God has purpose to save every man. And it's not so. None of that's true, and none of it's in this verse. But it does say, I mean, and if you look at exactly what it says, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So what did he mean by this? Well, he means exactly what he says. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, I want to be very clear here, if I can, relate this. The word John used here, lighteth, it just means to shine upon, to shed rays. That's what the light does. You understand? The light, if it's not shining, if it's not bright, it's not that light. And that light does shine upon every man. Now, first, the negative, I will say that it does not, it's not the same thing as when Paul wrote in Ephesians about the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. Paul is very specific about ye may know. Your eyes are being enlightened. Here, John does say, every man which cometh into the world. And that's what it means. I do believe this. But what I do believe, Paul wrote of it in Romans chapter 1. The same sort of thing. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I believe that's what John was writing in John chapter 1. You understand? There is a light that shines. He always shines. And that light is seen, and the power of God is revealed in it, and the darkness comprehended it not. But they are without excuse. They hold the truth in unrighteousness. And I believe that's what John was talking about. Because if you go from here, from verses 6 through 10 here, are basically an explanation or expounding upon verses 4 and 5. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And they are still to this day without excuse. What about people that never heard the gospel? They are still, to this day, without excuse. That's what the book says. I know it's not the most cheerful message this early in the morning, but this is the message I got, and this is the message in this book. Amen. You understand? I love to talk about the elect. I love to talk about what God's done for the elect. But there are others that are spoken of in this book. And all of us were darkness at one time. And we were without excuse. But then, something happened. But that's what I believe this verse is teaching, is the fact that that light, and it comes to every man in the world, every woman in the world, and they are still without excuse. Things are clearly seen. Things are lit up by the true light. That true light. The darkness can't comprehend it. The darkness can't see it. And the darkness won't have it. Why? Men love darkness rather than light. Men love darkness and hate the light. And they're without excuse. Light has come into the world, and men love darkness. They hate what that true light reveals. They hold the truth in unrighteousness. And they are without excuse. Verse 10 says, he. We're back to the person again, for sure. That true light is he, was in the world. The light of life, the life of men, the light is a person. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. You people see Christ everywhere. What's wrong with you? Nothing's wrong with us, other than our natural self, because Christ is everywhere. That light shines all over this whole world. This whole world doesn't see it, cannot see it. This world was made by him, and this world doesn't know him. How depraved is that? Totally. Totally depraved is what that is. God himself manifest in the flesh. He was in the world, and the world didn't know him. He made the world, and these things are clearly seen, but the world knew him not. Our Creator, our true light, is a person. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. John is writing about here those who are in darkness and those who are darkness. And they're the same people. Walter and I talked a little bit about this. I mentioned it when we were out on the porch waiting for Paul and David show up so we can put up the tent up there. Matthew 6 and verse 23. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And I believe that is one of the scariest statements in Scripture. That is one of the scariest. Sort of like that one about strong delusion. If he sends you strong delusion to believe a lie. Because if you're deluded, you don't know you're deluded. If you've got a delusion, you're deluded. If the light that's in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? That scares me. But even after all this, from verse 4 to verse 10, look at verse 11, and then 12. Because John doesn't stop here. This is the way of the world. This is the way the world is. He says in verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but, verse 12, but. And that is one of those glorious buts. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born. There's no way I could do this without going to this. Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Those that are born of God are no longer in darkness. They have the light of life. Those that are born of God are not darkness anymore. He tells them, you at sometimes were darkness. And those which are born of God are the only ones who will understand both the darkness and the light. Because those in darkness only know the darkness. And every one of us has been there before. Every one of us was walking in this world without Christ at one time. But now are ye light in the Lord. That's a blessing from God. That is a blessing. He would have been justifiably right to leave me right here where it says, "And the darkness comprehended it not." That's what I deserved. That's what I earned, Walter. That's what I had. That's who I was. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name, and that not of yourselves. It doesn't say that there, but that's what it means. That's what it's teaching, which were born of God. You know, not of the will, not of blood. Doesn't matter who your family is. Doesn't matter what your family is. Doesn't matter whether your family's good or bad. Doesn't matter whether your grandmother believed or not. Doesn't matter if you can take your history all the way back to Adam or Noah. Who knows? I don't think anybody can. And it wouldn't matter if you could. Because it is not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born of God. The light shines into the darkness, and of itself the darkness comprehended it not. But he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. The world is still walking in darkness. They think this is a wonderful... This is the information age, you know that, because of the internet. And there is a lot of information out there. Sure, 99.9% of it is of absolutely no value. And the 1% that is of value, I have to use for work most of the time. But this world still walks in darkness. Why? Because they do not know the light of life. They don't know the true light. They don't know that there is a true light. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Born of God. That's how you get it. It's of nothing you have done. It's of nothing you will ever do. It is all of his purpose and his almighty power and his sovereign grace, bestowing life on dead, fallen sinners that he chose from before the foundation of the world. He that followeth me, a person, shall not walk in darkness. Christ's body does not walk in darkness. Christ's church does not walk in darkness. They follow their good shepherd. They shall have the light of life. Why? Because they have him. He has given himself to his people. He has given us His Spirit. He is the light of the world, and the world still doesn't know Him. But He is still the light. And He is that light. He is the true light. And I like talking about that light. I like hearing about that light. I like to follow the light. I like to stay away from darkness, Mason. And His people love the light. His people love His light. They love His word. They love His presence. They love what He's done for them. They love what He has done to them. I remember Earl telling me one time what a other preacher said, that something about you can't love Christ until you love yourself just a little. And I looked at Earl and said, the only thing I love about me is what He's done for me and what He's done to me. The me part, I don't care so much for. And you're not supposed to. But there are people who think, you know, I'm not going into philosophy, but by gollies, it's out there. He is the true light. And outside of Him is nothing but darkness. So rejoice in the light. Rejoice in Him. Praise Him. Our Father, we're thankful again for this time that we came to gather in Your name. Help us, Lord, because we need Your help. Your Son has done everything for us. Help us to see the light brighter and clearer and better. And help us to love Him who gave Himself for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.